Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peeping the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev in the building.
Hello, everybody. This is Rigel.
Hotep. Abarigani. Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Montoy, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. For another week, Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think, but we all, well, let me start over. We all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. So we appreciate the family for joining us.
It is what it is.
We have a dynamic dialogue, as always, this week, hopefully to bring the family some constructive information and conversation as well. But before we get started, as always, how was y'all week, Rigel and Mufasa? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
Well, one major, I'm talking just breaking news major.
Uh-oh.
And, yes, it's breaking news, so just
lay
please,
it on
everybody, just don't, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to actually say such a huge thing, but yeah, everybody knows it's Gemini season.
That's right. That's right. Shout out to the Geminis.
So, and I'll be setting up a GoFundMe account.
Oh my God!
No doubt.
I figured I'd give a shout out for the Gemini one time. It's like, you know. And this doesn't have anything to do with me. It's just about Gemini. It's like Geminis just make the world go around. And it don't have nothing to do with me. I ain't even talking about myself, you know. So I just like to throw it out there. Okay. Yeah, we can move on.
It's going to be a long month.
Yes,
indeed.
It
is what it is.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to the Gemini.
I done got older, Mufasa. I ain't going to be able to celebrate like I usually do.
I hear you, but I don't.
I won't be able to celebrate like I won't be able to celebrate like I usually do.
Well, hey, I got to ride with her because you know my mother's birthday is Monday. She's a Gemini as well, so I gotta show some love to the Geminis. Like I said, it's gonna be a long month, you know. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
I've had a great
day. It is what it is.
You know, this is in the Muslim community, we're winding down the days of Ramadan. And so, I'm at the end of that. It has been enlightening. Feeling good coming up out of that. My one announcement I want to make is the Nation of Islam, we lost a strong soldier. A brother by the name of Terrell Fingers, known throughout the St. Louis community as a guy who was always out.
Hold up. Are you serious? Wait, my brother. You say Terrell Fingers?
Oh, you didn't know that, man?
No, I didn't know that. Him and his brother, them was my guys.
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
I guess you hadn't had a chance to chop it up, so I didn't get a chance to tell you. I know I told Roger, but I didn't get a chance to tell you. Yeah, Brother Terrell passed. He actually passed Monday, and his service will be tomorrow at True Light Church at 2838 James Cool Papa Bell at St. Louis, Missouri, 63106. His service, the wake is from 9 to 11 a.m. Services start at 11 after that. So, yeah, Brother Terrell will definitely be missed. He was always out in the community spreading love and was, like I said, a strong soldier for the Nation of Islam. So his brothers, we're going to miss him. The community is going to miss him. So if anyone can make it out to his services, again, tomorrow at True Light MB Church, 2838 James Cool, Papa Bell, and that's St. Louis, Missouri, 63106. Wake at 9, from 9 to 11. Service start promptly at 11.
Wow.
Yeah,
see,
sorry to drop that on you, Brother Kev.
Man, yeah. You know, me and Terrell used to work a gig together back in the day, like long time ago. And before that, I used to know them because they used to box, him and his brother. You know, they was known boxers around the city and all that. I think when they was youth, they was like some golden gloves. They was pretty good when they was, you know, young and coming up.
Professional.
Yeah, professional, exactly, yeah. They ended up going professional. So, you know, that's a tragedy to hear. You know, shout out to his family. Condolences to his family and friends. And, you know, love and light to them. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I did not know that. So, yeah, love and light to them. What'd you say, Ty? Roger?
Well, no, nothing. Never mind. We can move on.
Yeah, love and light to them, y'all. So, yeah,
yeah,
y'all, we'll be back another
Brother
week.
Kev, I should have hit you up. I should have hit you up early on that. But, you know how things go, man. We've been having busy weekend. And I didn't get a chance to share that with you.
Yeah, I know how it go. And me, I stay out the loop, you know. Unless somebody tell me, then I'm kind of out the loop. So, yeah, I appreciate that, but
hey,
yeah, I did not know that.
I add this real quick, too. You know, one of the places that the brother would be at all the time, soldiering his papers and his cologne, his fragrance and stuff, was up on Lucas and Hunt West Florissant. And I had the honor to be up there today, distributing out some final call papers, and it was amazing to see the community. People would stop and say, "Hey, you know, where the brother at? He would be here all the time."
Uh-huh.
Some people would come by and say, "Hey, you know, I heard about, you know, the brother passing, you know," and they would give condolences or ask what time his services. So it just goes
That's
to show when somebody makes a difference, makes an impact in their community. You know,
that's
what I'm saying?
Right.
Where people just random people rolling down the street be asking for him or looking for him. So he definitely going to be
right.
missed. Man, a lot of
yes,
pleased
indeed.
With that brother.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, family, there you have it. So, you know, when anybody passes or make the transition, it's always important that we, you know, recognize the people that we still got here. So, you know, to your loved ones and to your family members, you know, just make sure you show them that, you know, you appreciate them while they're here, you love them, give them their flowers while they're here, you know, like people be saying, you know, try to give people their flowers while they're here as opposed to waiting, because this thing we call life is so precious and it could go at any minute, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, like I say, condolences and love and light to that man's family and friends. And this week on Collective Minds Radio, y'all, we are back for another week. Give us a call. This is not a spectator sport. We are doing part two of the reparations conversation. You know, we just want to have this conversation because part one, since we did part one, there's been a lot that's been going on that's been surrounding, you know, the reparations movement, the quote-unquote ADOS movement, which stands for American Descendants of Slaves. So it's a lot that's been going on since our first conversation. So we just wanted to follow up this week and, you know, touch on the reparations discussions and conversation, right? So let me just – I'm going to just lay a little groundwork, and then I guess we can go in. Give us a call, family. The number is 929-477-1697. Again, that's 929-477-1697. If you have, question or conversation or you want to add on to this discussion about reparations and the ADOS movement. Okay. So now, I don't know if y'all know, but since the last conversation, we have over 20 Democratic candidates that's running for president heading up to this 2020 election, right? So we got Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Bill de Blasio, who is the mayor of New York. Bernie Sanders is running again, and the front runner, Joe Biden, right? So all these candidates, they've been running to the Breakfast Club, you know, trying to get the black vote, been going in black spaces like churches and things like that, and they're trying to get the black vote. But at the same time, reparations and, you know, things specifically for American descendants of slaves or for black Americans has been put on the table. And most of these candidates have been asked about it. In my opinion, I think most of them fail with their answers. You know, they asked Bernie Sanders. He tried to play crazy like he didn't know what reparations was or what does it look like or what do you do, you know what I'm saying? Kamala Harris was saying some things basically where she would include every other group in with black Americans. And that's the thing that ADOS is asking for, is something specifically for black Americans, not people of color, not minorities, not people with disabilities, not one leg humpbacks, not you know, like Dr. Claude Anderson say, not including every group. We're just talking about specifically black Americans, descendants or descendants of ancestors who were slaves, right? And then one more thing came up. It's a bill that is going around the House of Representatives called H.R. 40. And this was proposed by Representative John Conyers. It was introduced in January 2017. Basically, it's a commission to study and develop reparations for African Americans. So it's not reparations, but it is a step towards research and some type of study and development for reparations. So that bill is on the table. Like I said, it was introduced in 2017. It's still on the table. It's still – yeah, I'm hearing a lot of background noise as well, too. You can mute your line. But that particular bill, H.R. 40, is being passed around. That is now on the table as far as people are asking the candidates questions whether they support the H.R. 40 bill. So that's another you know, you could say step forward as far as looking into reparations for American descendants of slaves. So, yeah, I just wanted to lay that groundwork. So this is part two of the reparations conversation, family. Give us a call, 929-477-1697. And now, before we get started, so I just want to be clear that everybody on this phone is on the same page, and even people listening. Do we all agree that black Americans, descendants of slaves, African Americans, whatever you want to call it, do we all agree that they, or we, shall I say, deserve reparations, or should be, or should be entitled? I know if deserve is the right word. Have we earned reparations? Should we be asking for reparations? I guess deserve is the right word. I don't have a problem with deserve. Does everyone on this phone feel like descendants of slaves, black Americans, deserve reparations based on what they've been through during slavery and even post-slavery with the Jim Crow. Are we all in agreement that we deserve some type of compensation from the government? And I'll let, you know, Roger and Mufasa answer that.
Well, I think I do think that we deserve it, and I think deserve is an okay word to use myself, especially with the other words you use after that. I'm like, no, go back to deserve,
right?
Because
right.
do think that I think that it is deserving considering the history in the past. Now, I don't have a strong opinion when it comes to whether or not we should ask for it or not. You know, it's like, hey, I'm not mad if someone chooses to ask for it. I'm not mad about that, and I wouldn't criticize them and judge them for doing it. Like, I know, you know, it's what's been happening a lot of, well, that's been other people's opinions, you know, but I don't see nothing wrong with asking either, you know. And if you don't choose to, and you choose to say, hey, you know, well, yeah, acknowledge the history, yeah, that happened and all that, and I just move on from it, and hey, that's your prerogative as well, you know. So it's like, hey, I do think it's deserving, though, you know, especially due to the history, you know, because it's like if, you know, if someone, I feel like if someone come and disrupt my family tree, that's a big deal.
Right.
You know, what someone does to me don't just affect me. It affect my kids and my grandkids. So that's a big deal. That's not a small happening, you know. So something should take place, you know. Something should happen. Now whether or not the other party agrees or not, you know, that's a whole separate issue too.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. That's a separate issue. Yeah, that's why I just wanted to ask about deserving, because we could talk about, you know, the other stuff after the fact. But, yeah, you talk, you go
right,
all
well, yeah,
type
okay,
of
that's why I stand.
But,
yeah, I stand there. I'm out. Mufasa.
There we go. Mufasa Rod, do you think black Americans deserve reparations? Brother Mufasa, you with us? Okay,
can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we got you now. Loud and clear.
Yes, I would agree with you. I agree we deserve reparations for what was done, you know, to Africans throughout the diaspora. You know, I do have issues with, you know, the way we categorize ourselves as a group, like, you know, with the ADOS movement. They're just basically looking at the American descendants of slaves when we know that there's a bigger picture of quote-unquote Africans who deserve reparations. So if I'm looking at the bigger picture, yes, I'm praying the broader stroke of black people throughout the diaspora deserve reparations. And the other thing that I always add to it is, because, you know, just to make sure I'm asking your question correctly, yes, I agree. But I also just want to make sure that land is included in that discussion and not just a little bit of financial gain.
Right.
That's where I stand with that. But, yes, I do agree that we deserve a form of reparations from the government, the United States government.
Okay, got you. Okay, yeah, I just wanted to ask that, and then we can discuss other things. So that goes for anybody else that's listening as well. You know, do you think that black Americans, African Americans, if you will, deserve reparations? You know, call up, especially if you do not think that they deserve reparations. Please give us a call and let us know. But like I was saying, the reason why I asked that is because just to lay that foundation, because if we're all in agreement on that, I think that's the biggest piece of the puzzle. Now, we could talk about the other party involved. We could talk about what does reparations look like. Like my brother Mufasa just said, he wants to definitely include land in that, which is good as well. So, you know, all those conversations can come later, but as long as we're all in agreement that, yes, some type of compensation should be given to black Americans, I think, you know, that's a good foundational start, or, you know, a good way to lay the foundation. Now, just a quick response to my brother Mufasa. Yes, I agree that Africans throughout the diaspora are deserving of some type of reparations as well. Like I was trying to articulate on the last show, as far as ADOS, I think that particular movement and gripe is with the American government, right? We're talking about the American government during slavery and also post-slavery. So that's why ADOS had to make a distinction, even though, yes, you could say Haiti deserves some type of reparations from France. You know what I'm saying? You could say Jamaicans deserve some type of reparations from Britain, and so on and so forth. You know, Africans, the way that continent has been colonized, would deserve some type of compensation. But I think as far as ADOS, here, us in the United States of America, we have a different gripe with the American government. You know what I'm saying? It's not these other parties, these other countries or whatever. Our particular fight is with the government of the United States for the negligence and, you know, the state-sanctioned things that they've done, or systematic things that they've done to kind of undermine our progress. So I think that's kind of the distinction. And I feel like if we were to lead the charge in this conversation, that these other countries could kind of follow suit. Even if you want to go to Brazil, which has the largest African population outside of Africa, you know, Brazil could have their gripe with Portugal, you know, and things like that. So I think it'll be up to us, since we are, quote unquote, in the big house, to kind of lead that charge and kind of look out for ourselves first, right? Like they say on a plane, you got to put the mask on yourself first and heal yourself before you can help anybody else. So I feel like if we lead the charge, you know, we can help ourselves first, and then if other groups want to start their own movement, yes, I would be personally in full support of another group, you know, asking for reparations from their particular country. You see what I'm saying? So that was just a quick response to that. But if you're just joining us, family, this is part two of the reparations conversation, ADOS conversation we're having. Please give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Did anybody want to respond? And then we'll get to the call lines here in 1 second. I want to give, you know, my host a chance to respond to anything that was just said. The floor is y'all's. Y'all want to go?
No,
all right, you got some, Russell?
No, I don't.
I wanted to ask you about Brother Kev and Roger, about how y'all felt about Yvette Cornell and Antonio Moore, the two people who, you know, leading this ADOS movement. You know, I was reading in this month's edition of The Final Call, and they were saying they were stating some comments that Miss Cornell had made. And I want to read that just to make sure I don't, you know, say anything take anything out of content. But
yes, sir.
She made a comment saying that Pan-Africanism really still lives within us as kind of a self-esteem booster rather than any kind of real political exchange or any real political ideology. Ms. Cornell said in her video, this is a video she did on YouTube, she went on to say, we have this kind of relationship with America that causes some people to say they don't have a country. No, you have a country. We just have a country that is, what is this, sir? Oh, man, I can't read that word, y'all.
No worries.
We have a
bro.
Country that is about abdicating our responsibility to us, but we still have a country. We're American. She said, we're American. We're not Pan-African. We're not African. We're not American. I mean, we're American. Let me read that again. We're American. We're not Pan-African. We're not African. We're American. We're Black American descendants of slaves. We are as American, if not more American, than anybody else. Would you agree with that statement, Brother Kev, that we are American?
I would say as far as the, I would agree with that, because I would look at it from this context, as far as we built this country, we've always held America down, meaning we fought in every war that America has had, right? So we could start with the Revolutionary War. You know, according to the reports, they say a black man was the first one to, he took the first bullet in the quote-unquote Revolutionary War. So then going to the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, like you name it, World War One, World War Two, every war black Americans have fought in and held this country down. Now you have other groups, meaning like the South, they've actually fought against America, and yet they want to hold on to that heritage and to that, you know, particular culture, as they say. But we got to remember the South and the Confederate, the South, the Confederate, they went against the Union, and the Union was America, or went on to become America. So, you know, we got to look at that. So as far as us fighting in every war, we've been the true patriots. We have been the one who has tried to get America to live up to its ideas that is put on paper. That's been black people. We've been fighting for what they put on paper for the longest. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get America to live up to its ideas of equality. So in that sense, I would say, yes, we are Americans. And the fact that we've built a lot of infrastructure in this country, a lot of monumental buildings and things and such. So, yes, I would agree with it in that context. Now, are we treated as such? I would say no. But, yeah, I would agree that we are Americans.
Yeah, because my next question was, do you feel that we are treated like Americans? Because we see time and time again where our rights are violated and where we don't get the same, you know, get looked at.
Exactly.
The same as quote unquote what you call Americans. And you know, there is that argument in the Constitution where they said they didn't even look at us as being humans. So
exactly.
Yeah,
so
just wanted to see where you was at on things. So y'all okay with being called an American?
Well, me personally, I try not to get so attached to titles and names and all this stuff anyway. So I try not to let stuff like that bother me, because it's like, to me, that's just like someone calling me, just saying my name is Kevin, and I know my name's not Kevin. It doesn't bother me, whatever you want to call it. I do agree with the fact that we are here, we did build this country, and no, we're not being treated fairly. That's the whole reason that even wanting to ask for land and include land in reparation anyway, because I don't think it would be an issue. Nobody would probably even, you know, think about it or trip off of it if we were all here and treated like this is our land as well. We're equal as well. We helped build this land, if not even, you know, more than, you know, anybody else. So it's like, you know, if it wasn't an off balance situation, I don't even think we'd probably even be tripping off of land for real, because we will be included in this land as if it was our home, so we'll feel like home. And right now it doesn't feel like home. So that's what we're still searching for, a place that it feels like home. You know.
Right. Right.
So
it's
okay.
So now, as far as I want to put this out there too, because you mentioned Yvette Carneal and Antonio Moore. Now, as far as I'm concerned, like, I guess you can say that they are at the forefront of the movement when you talk about, you know, social media influence and kind of getting the word out there with their followers. They kind of kicked it off, and they are real heavy marching it. But I would say this: ADOS is not is not like a club or a group or some type of membership you can subscribe to. It's either you are or you ain't. You know what I'm saying? You are your ancestors are descendants of slaves or they're not. You know what I'm saying? So it's not something that you could just join and be like, oh, I'm ADOS. No, you have to show and prove that your lineage or someone in your family was, you know, enslaved or infected by these systematic policies that were handed down, and you have to prove that you are of African descent. So it's not
how
something
easy
where
is that to prove?
I think it's very easy to prove because they kept thorough records of the slave trade and of slaves and all that. So, you know, unbeknownst to us, there are, again, thorough records of slaves, descendants, where did they go to live, you know, what happened after they left the plantation and things like that. So I don't think it's that difficult to prove, you know. From what I've seen and researched,
it's not going to be a challenging process. But and then you know me, I'm always skeptical of stuff. You know, I'm not saying this suggesting that everybody should adapt my ways, but I am admitting that I'm skeptical when it comes to stuff. I'm like, okay, so even if they do a test, if I'm not doing the test myself, I'm like, okay, the information that you're going to give me, who's to say it's correct? So I'm going to be just that part won't work, but I guess that'll be the only way to do it. But I would be skeptical because it's like at some point I'm gonna have to believe that this person has done something accurately, whether it was by being just like a conspiracy or if it's just an accident error or something like that. I'm always leery about those things, but hey.
Right, it would be
challenging to prove. Yeah,
no, that could be with any information, but it wouldn't be that challenging. What I'm trying to explain is the Library of Congress has thousands and thousands of records of slavery, what happened, costs, death certificates, birth certificates, like all these type of things are housed in the Library of Congress. So I don't think, like I say, in my personal opinion, it would be that difficult. Now, what Roger was saying, yeah, you should do that with any information, be skeptical and scrutinize it and look it over, flip it up, flip it down, you know, all type of stuff just to verify that, you know, it's right and exact to your best of your ability. You know what I'm saying? You should do that with all information. But I think with this, I don't think it's that difficult to prove. But I was saying all that about Yvette Carneal and Antonio Moore because, like I say, this is not some type of group that you can just join. It's either you have the lineage or you don't. You know what I'm saying? It's really that cut and dry. So it's not like a particular club that you can join. You know what I'm saying? Now, I do want to point folks to this, too. There is a website that is ADOS101.com. Again, that's ADOS101.com. And this goes into what ADOS is. It goes into what they're asking for. It goes into a background of the founders of this particular website and what they do. So, you know, if you want to get more information on that, you can go to that website, and it kind of breaks down, the agenda. So let me just read, I'm going to just read this part real quick. This is on their website, and this is pertaining to the Black agenda. And it says, as a specific group with a specific justice claim, The ADOS movement demands a specific agenda with policy prescriptions that address the losses stemming from the institutions of slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, convict leasing, mass incarceration, and immigration. Right. So that's just a, you know, a quick summary of their particular stance and agenda. So, you know, folks can check that out. Like I said, they got information on what exactly they're asking for. There's a lot of things pertaining to set aside for African Americans or descendants of slaves. It's about streamlining affirmative action and government programs. They're asking for, here, I'm going to give you this. Here's the one thing. They say,
yeah, come on, black, give us some of.
Yeah, yeah. They say black businesses only received 1.7% of the $23.09 billion in total small business loans under President Obama. Under President Obama's Small Business Administration. So they're trying to get at least 15% of the Small Business Administration loans to be distributed to ADOS businesses. They're looking for a multi-billion-dollar infrastructure plan targeted to ADOS communities, including but not limited to the Black Belt, which would be the South, parts of a majority of the South, Flint, Michigan, because they're saying that there's other towns that have had poisoning that has high rate of poisoning water within their community. So they're looking to search that. Mass incarceration has wreaked havoc on Black American families. By some accounts, there are literally more Black male in prison than all women are incarcerated on the planet. So they're looking for something for mass incarceration. Now, I want to see if I see something about land, since our brother Mufasa asked about land.
You know, that's what I was
saying,
yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm
yeah, I know. Yeah, let me see. Okay, now they're looking for money for Black colleges and HBCUs, ADOS in tech. Let's see. They want to audit all these banks for racial discrimination. They want to mandate the government's advertising budget, including Black media. Okay, let me see.
Nothing.
Okay, they say hold on. All ADOS should be forgiven for their student loans, a health care credit to pay for medical coverage for all ADOS. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't see anything about land on here.
I didn't think so.
So, yeah, I don't see anything about
land. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy, but like I said before, if we ain't talking about land, we're really not talking about a lot. We ain't talking about much. Everything else
right.
is just a pacifier. It's just a pacifier and give you the illusion of inclusion. I know that's not going to go over well with a lot of people, but, you know, that's my feeling on it.
Yeah. I feel you. But, yeah, there's nothing specific to land. I would be interested into why they didn't include that, because I feel like, you know, that is something to include. You know, when you go to the negotiating table, you're supposed to start your negotiation with above and beyond what you want. You know what I mean? And then you kind of work down from there. So I'm not sure why they put that on there. Maybe they felt like it may have been unrealistic or not reachable.
Thing,
I don't know. I want to assume.
And the other thing, too, because I know we need to get to the phone lines, but because, see, that's a red flag to me. Also, the comments attacking Pan-Africanism is a red flag to me. When you're attacking other groups that was laying out the foundation for reparations long before you, and you are somewhat attacking them, and you're trying to rewrite the script, you know, and I'm seeing that you're not talking about language, you're talking about all this stuff that includes nothing to American culture. I'm not buying it. Something ain't right about it. You know, I'm not going to use this time right now for this show to point out all the flaws in their movement, but I'm just saying that something don't seem right with me with it, with what I laid out there. Not asking for land and then attacking organizations in the past who already talked about reparations. I don't agree with that. I don't like that.
All right. Yes, indeed. Roger, did you have a response, or you want to hit the call lines, see if we got some calls?
Yeah, we can get to the call lines. I don't have to, respond to that. Let's see. Let's go with area code 314-381. Call you on with Collect the Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, man.
I can't believe you. What time is it? It ain't even 6:30 good. And you already
it's came. 6:41. Yeah, 6:41. We came
early. Early.
How you doing,
hey,
brother?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Did you get my email?
You know what? Let me check right now because I did not see it, but I'm going to look right now where I got you on here.
But, Kevin.
Yes,
this ADOS stuff is not going to go anyplace.
You may be right. First of all,
people need to come up with some good substantial reasons on why these reparations will be due. And everything that's been brought up, it's only two ways you're going to get reparations. One is judicially, and the other is politically. And judicially,
right.
It has been tried. Judicially, you got to find somebody to blame. Well, the last time they tried to find somebody. And by the way, Christopher Attucks got shot way before there was a revolution. And he wasn't no African. He was a very strong mulatto. But that counts for anything. But you have to find somebody that you can accuse of causing an injury and show where they broke the law. And that hasn't been able to be proved. Did you know that blacks have a strong affirmative action for getting into medical school? They are giving points way
in
ahead
Cuba,
percentage-wise
yeah.
than
in
white
Cuba.
Asians and other ethnic groups. And they had an Indian fella who attempted to get it. He did get accepted by Washington University and St. Louis University. All right.
Mm-hmm.
His grades was immaculate. But the first time he put in, he said he was an Asian, which Indians are. They're Asians. And he is black as Wesley Snipes. And it's on YouTube. It's called Indian Student. I said I was black to get into med school.
Right.
The second time
that.
He tried, you remember that? He said he was black.
Uh-huh.
And he got in just like that in St. Louis University. They're on, Grand Avenue, St. Louis U Med Center. So those special privileges exist for black students. But you know what the problem is? You don't have none that's taken up on them. The same way with this land deal. Nixon provided land for blacks amongst all
really?
The other land that was provided, but they didn't take
really?
Up on it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you got land
whoa.
Right.
Point. I mean, you got to show me where Nixon provided land for blacks. I have to
look up.
Research
go on Google, and it's called Soul City. That's one of them. The next one is right across the river from you, Kevin. You can run over there in 15 minutes. It's called Brooklyn. That was land that was set aside for African Americans.
Brooklyn, Illinois? You talking about
Brooklyn, Illinois?
Brooklyn, Illinois is another one.
Huh? home of the strip club.
With all the strip clubs, right. With all the strip clubs.
Well, if you let it sit there and don't do nothing with it, somebody else will.
Saying a mouthful right there.
Now, Floyd McKissick and Harvey Gantt petitioned Richard Nixon for a black city. And he put millions of dollars into infrastructure, into a community in Warren County, North Carolina. It's called Soul City. And there's another one in South Carolina, I think, that he had something to do with. It was called Freedom Town. So there's two right there. Actually, three with Brooklyn. Not including all the other ones that's out there, like Taft and 24 more in Oklahoma, Allensworth. And people talk about Rosewood. Rosewood was not no black settlement. White stayed in Rosewood. And there's more out there. Now, to go on. If blacks was to get reparations, well, shouldn't Koreans that was involved in the Los Angeles riots also seek reparations from blacks that burnt their businesses down?
No, because how you going to get reparations from a people collectively who don't have any means to pay it? Like, we don't economically have. And furthermore, it wasn't systemic. That was a one-time incident. We're talking about systemic over years. We're not talking about a week of protest. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about years and years of systemic.
They took Japanese land one time. They took Japanese businesses one time. Since people like to always say, well, the Japanese got reparations.
They bombed their country.
That wasn't their country.
Twice.
It was Japanese here in the United States.
Their homeland.
Well, that's not what the lawsuit included. Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. So we need to go after them Japanese. We need to go after them Japanese for bombing Pearl Harbor then, right?
No, but look, check this out. Check this out. We have a government who bombed Japan twice and then spent billions of taxpayers' dollars to rebuild that country. They did the same thing in Germany. They rebuilt Germany. Like, come on, we cannot.
That was based upon treaties, man. If that's what they had in the treaty in the country that was giving up the war, if that's what their stipulation was, then that's what came up. Black Americans ain't never been. Black Americans was over there killing Germans. And another point, how about the five blacks that was killed in St. Louis over the weekend? Who do they get reparations for? Who do their families get reparations from? Should they not be able to file civil claims against those that killed their loved ones this past weekend and also the previous weekend going on forever?
They could probably file whatever type of suit they want, but we don't want to get into a situation where everybody just filing civil claims.
It's the same.
But it's not the same thing. No, we're talking about systematic governmental approved sanction to impede progress.
Well, when they filed a suit against the railroad, it wouldn't have nothing to do with the government. When Deidre Pellman in the last lawsuits that went, we talk about them every now and then, they weren't suing the government. They were suing railroad companies and some corporations, and they were not able to go any place with them. Another thing, how about the tribal claims?
No, I was going to say, so explain to me why the government bailed out all these banks.
That has nothing to do with reparations. Let's stay honest, man. Look, let's keep it on topic. Let's keep it on topic. Can we do that?
Let me stay on topic.
And we have some time in the end. We can talk about that.
That's what I was going to ask you. At least have time to answer the question.
Let's talk about that at the end.
Yeah. That's fine.
All right, then how about the tribal claims in Africa that African tribes have against those that caused criminal acts that led to them to be put into the trade slave. And you are their descendants. And their laws is the sins of the father follow the child. So that has to be considered. And I hear people talking about you're going to sue the federal government. And I'm basing this on what already has been tried and what came out of it. But in actuality, just think about it. The federal government, the United States government, did not profit off of slavery. How did they?
We already went through this now. We went through this. I've emailed you an article.
How did the United States federal government.
Because the slave owners had to pay taxes on property.
Now, who did they pay the taxes to? Wait a minute. Hang on.
Because y'all finna get off topic. We wanted to set up a debate with you two brothers about that.
Let's come back to that. All right, we got taxes. And we got the other issues that delay. I just got two more points here.
Go ahead. We got it.
All right. This thing about blacks built the United States. I like to know where that is, too. And also,
D.C.? Like, we can start at the Capitol, D.C.
That's one building. And how do you know how do you know that was a government building? Those other buildings is private. How do you know that those people didn't get paid? And another thing, black businesses was going on here in the United States since, on record, and probably beyond that, the 1600s through 1865, a lady wrote a book on it. So those black businesses, where do they come in to play with all this?
Those are the points
I want to hit.
So basically you're saying blacks don't deserve reparations. Right.
Pardon me?
So basically you're saying blacks do not deserve reparations.
Well, it's like this. Who's going to get and who's going to pay? Under what pretense? You can't show me, like I say, how you going to sue the federal government? It's two things with suing the United States government. One, they got to permit you to sue them. Then two,
right?
Where did they profit from? There was no income tax until 1913.
Sir, what I'm telling you is they had to pay taxes on the property they owned, which slaves were property. That is proven.
Who did they pay the taxes to?
The article. To the United States government, sir.
They did not pay no tax, no property tax to the United States government.
Okay.
What day can we set this debate up?
I'm ready now. I got my pocket. I'm ready now.
Nah, we ain't going to do this now. But look, check this out, because you said it was two ways that you can go about reparations. That's judicially and politically. This particular movement, if you will, is a political movement. We are on the heels of a 2020 presidential election. Now all the buzz of reparation has come up. So this is really a political movement. And like I've stated before, I'm not really interested in whether, you know, the United States government give reparations or not. My thing is, I'm just glad the conversation is started. I'm glad it's on the table. That way, when it's rejected or approved, which I'm leaning towards rejected, that's still a win for black people, because at some point we're going to have to realize that the government is not working in the best interest of all its citizens. We have a two-tier system, you know, that deals with whites and blacks differently, and that's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
I don't see that, Kevin, really.
Put that in the forefront. Right, you may not see that.
I don't see that, and I see where the government works for their constituents. Now, do Bosley and do Lacey Clay work for your best interest? I can say I don't think so, looking at the things the way they are. But Lacey Clay does not represent people in North Carolina. He does not represent people in North Dakota. The people down here and people in Baton Rouge is pretty well agreeable with their politicians. The people out there in Pike County in Missouri are pretty well agreed with their representation.
Right. So what I'm talking about is the disparities in black wealth versus white wealth. So whether the numbers or information I'm getting is incorrect, we got to show and prove. But according to the numbers,
all right, let's stop right there on the disparity in wealth.
Between
disparity in wealth. how did, okay, look, you got blacks here in this country, even ethnic groups, that make more than whites on average as a family. You got the Jamaicans in Jamaica, Queens, New York. You got Nigerians all over the place, Ghanaians. So how is it that these black folks have come here and been able to do what they do, whereas their household income is greater than whites? And you got a lot of African Americans. You got a lot of, you go out there in Barrington Downs, those blacks out there in Barrington Downs, average household income is greater than whites.
I can explain that. That's very easy to explain. Now, number one, when these people come over to our country,
don't say that they give money, because they don't.
They do, but
no, I know Niger. My wife come to this country, they gonna give her money,
sir. They have incentives for people to come into this country, and they do a lot of vetting with the people. But what I'm saying is, when those people come over, they have a particular black, they have a particular foundation, meaning they don't have an identity crisis as black Americans, which was a result of all the systematic things that have been done to black Americans. We in the West, in this country, have an identity crisis. Those people come from a particular nation they can go back to. They have a particular culture, and they have, excuse me, they have, like I say, they have a lineage, and they don't have an identity crisis.
But Kevin,
they have a different set of foundation and a different culture than we have over here. Which
what
we
about
have
the
lost
ones? What
through.
About the ones that's born here?
They may be first generation, but they're still growing up
how
in a household.
How about the first, second, and third generations, Kevin?
And then you now look, you see a lot of those. Some of those may gravitate towards black American culture, or they may gravitate towards the other side. What I'm saying
is, so the ones that gravitate to the other side, they are successful economically. Then the one, the black Americans, why come they don't gravitate towards some of the aspects on the other side, quote unquote? I just told you, you as you the black going trying to get into a medical school, you got points that go in your favor to put you ahead of every other people. Including white.
So what I'm saying is, there's a difference between a black immigrant coming over here. Yes, they're both black, and a black American. There's, our lives are totally different. You see, it's not the same.
Well, why did them blacks at Cornell University, that student group, complain against the administration that they letting too many Africans into the school? Is that racist?
Now that I don't know.
It's on Google.
But letting too many blacks? You mean letting too many blacks into it? No. I don't think that's racism. What I'm saying is, but
so
but
when you have black group, when you have white group that say that they the school is letting in too many blacks, they get accused of racism. So when blacks are complaining to the school administration that they letting too many Africans in, is that not racism?
Because from what my understanding is, this is the thing, and I'm gonna break this down. I'm glad you brought up that point. If you're letting black Africans in, and I got love for my black African brothers, but if you're letting black Africans in on the heels of some type of affirmative action that black Americans fought for, then yes, that is undermining the traditional black Americans. So yes, I see that as a problem.
Well, they're not really letting them in.
Because if we fought for these particular quote unquote affirmative action rights, and then you got an immigrant from another country coming in and benefiting from that right that we fought for, then I see that as a problem. We should be at the front of the line considering we were the ones getting sprayed with hoses, getting our heads beat in.
Well, that's not what the law said. The law said you're not supposed to discriminate against because race, creed, and color is further defined. So to complain that the administration, and we know that they have a higher educational attainment, you know, when you're talking about GPA and also test scores,
right,
than whites and even Asians. So
right,
that's a form of
discrimination. Right.
That's a form of racism. But you know, in today's time, racism ain't applied on both sides like you would hope for it to be.
No, because what black people are trying to do, we're trying to correct a wrong. Like, it's not like we're just asking for some type of special benefit because of black. No, we're asking for what was rightfully. No, but that's because.
If you set a black American kid next to one of them and give them both a test, that African is going to outscore. So should they not go get the spot?
They should be able to, yeah, get into the college, but not on something that foundational black Americans fought for. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what they do. Even though the funny thing with age, and I've heard this, I ain't been able to prove it. Even on those college entrance exams, because you know they don't change that, the rules on that too. But blacks, Hispanics, was started off with a score point. I think blacks was given like 165 points. Hispanics was given somewhere maybe like 80. Asians was given a negative before they started taking the test. And they still come out and outscore the ones that was given the highest number of points. So something's wrong
there. I don't know about that, sir. Yeah, I would have to look into that because I'm not with all that bell curve type stuff and all
that.
It
ain't a bell curve. It's just
whatever it is.
I think it's wrong.
Not, you know. Right.
Because when you ask this kid, say, how did you get here? Well, they're going to feel bad because, well, I would give them some extra points so that I could be able to score at least as or more than my age. And the lady had a question.
Right.
She probably don't want to sleep.
No, she's still on. But, yeah, let's try to
I didn't have a question.
Did you have a question?
I want to know how blacks built this country.
I said we can start with D.C.
All right.
Benjamin
in D.C.
Google Benjamin
Let's do one at a time.
Benjamin Banneker
was an architect. He didn't physically build the country.
Do y'all want to do that debate tomorrow? How about we set that debate up for tomorrow night? Who down?
It's not a debate because you got to have something to back your statement up. Exactly. And I'm about to tell you, slaves built the White House and the Capitol building. If I look further into some other D.C. infrastructures, I could probably point to where they built that too. But I know according to Michelle Obama and others.
Oh man!
They built the White House and the Capitol building.
All right, if slaves built the White House,
How about we do this tonight then? Let's do it.
Slaves built the White House. That's not the country. So you want to redefine it?
Okay, I said we could start there. Okay. We can start there. And there's plenty of
what happens if you're in there?
End later.
Right. Yeah, what happens if you're in
gonna
there?
End now. We're going to end later.
I'm not trying to take anything from black people.
But
they've done a lot of good things here in America. But
blacks
did not build this country. They probably participated in this. They participated in areas like everybody. When you look at
check this out. And I'm going to just put this on again. We can move on because we do have some other callers. When you talk about the GDP of this country, when you talk about the military might, that would be nothing without free labor, sir. Hundreds of years of free labor built the
free labor where? In the South? The South seceded, remember?
About? The South wasn't the only place that had slaves, sir.
The South seceded.
The South was not the only place that had slaves, sir.
Well, then here's another point. Like with
Ash so
in that judicial case.
GDP
in that
judicial case. We built the
hang on for a minute, Kevin. Hang on for a minute. I'm going to give you something to work on so you be ready for the debate. One thing that was asked in the judicial suit is how can you prove this? It was asking the best lawyer, Ogletree, and other lawyers that was representing the slave lawsuit. You can't prove that. That's just popular talk.
That can be proven. And I've said
I tell you what, if you can prove it, you can bring that suit back.
Edward Baptiste, the half has never been told. Edward Baptiste, the half has never been told. He lays out the economics of slavery and how this country benefited from it. But
okay. Well, I'm sure they should have had that at their lawsuit, but they didn't. Anyway.
All right.
I can't think of anything else.
As always, right. We appreciate you.
Well, y'all be ready. We're going to do this tonight or tomorrow, but this time we got to edit.
And Mustafa, look at that email I sent you. It's the state's law on education and who controls it.
Okay.
Yes,
right. All right. Gotcha. All right. Indeed. Peace, caller. Thank you. All right, y'all. If you're just joining us, we are doing part two of the reparations conversation, ADLS, what have you. And, we're just breaking it down, discussing. Did y'all want to comment or get to the callers? I'm going to let y'all do that.
No, we can take a caller. Area code 314. I mean, unless Mufasa has something to say.
No, go ahead.
Okay, area code 314-616. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
So I guess I was misinformed. I thought we were having a discussion about education and not economics. So it kind of threw me for
it. We're just talking about reparations as a whole. This part two of that conversation. So if you want to drop some, you know, on reparations or you could drop some on education as it pertains to reparations. I don't know, you know, but
we talking about. I'm gonna say my comments. I was really directing toward education, but I want to kind of follow up with the last caller. I really don't know where he was going with a lot of his statements. He was saying that, you know, slaves didn't build, you know, what we call the United Snakes of America, whatever it is you call it. But, you know, he never mentioned who did. So that would be the question I would ask to that caller. Is that if this wasn't built off of free labor, and we look at the 13th Amendment, and we're seeing that free labor is still keeping this country alive. So when we look at how the 13th Amendment has been implemented through white supremacy, and we're seeing who are the people that are populating the prisons, it goes back to the question: is who is getting the, you know, who I guess who's being affected most through the free labor, because it's not benefiting black folks. And, you know, with the question with the whole thing, I guess I'm going to go directly with the last caller, because he was saying so many things. I'm not saying that he's wrong, but it almost sounded that he's lacking education in white supremacy. Because when you look at these tests that they're given for these universities, who can enter into certain programs or whatnot, again, who is controlling these programs? Whose universities are these? Who's setting up these tests? How are these tests being set up? You know, what are the bias on these tests? And again, because white supremacy controls all this, you may have a few specks here or there of other ethnicities that are in control of certain things, but on the main scale level, you got the white man controlling this thing. And he chooses and picks who gets in and out. And when you look at these tests that they use, these markers, these gauges, there's always a language barrier that prevents blacks from getting higher scores. So if I'm from a different diaspora of the country, I may be familiar with more material that's being taught. You know what I'm saying? And and when you look at how other ethnicities are worked educationally in their country as opposed to this country, it's a lot different. And you look at the knowledge and the insight, and I guess I can go into what I was going to bring to the table as far as discussion with education, but I'll be 37 on the 25th of this month. In 37 years of living, I can say now from a perspective that as a collective, you have no black people that are educated, because if education was what we think that it is, it would be bringing us into liberation and survival of our race. And when we look at how education in a white supremacist dominated world has done for us, with the men collectively, what education has done, we don't have education. We have programming and training. It trains us to work for their corporations. We have training to become you know, judges or lawyers and their white supremacist courts, postmen, football players, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what the education is doing for our women is educating them into technology to the black man, tricking him into
mm-hmm.
child support, tricking him into to alimony,
football.
Tricking him into feminism, tricking him into abortion, tricking him into everything that supports and perpetuates white supremacy. So that's
yeah.
what I'm going to say on the educational side. But, you know, what the last caller was saying, I just think it's off. But he may have some information that I'm not aware of. But as a collective, if he doesn't understand that the white man controls his thing, I don't know what to say.
Brother
right.
David, if you just attack football again.
What's that?
It is what it is.
No, I was just saying that you know, this is what we call education is actually ignorance, because if we had true education, we would be surviving and liberating our race. But the education that's been provided to us makes us things that is comforting and building up the white man's world, not ours.
I'm just messing
so
with you. Every time I hear something about football, my radar go off. It is what it is.
Yes, indeed.
But before you go, how did you feel about that ADOS movement, though? Because I don't know if you heard earlier when I was saying in the ADOS movement, they say that we are American. And two of the founders was actually bashing the Pan-Africanism, among other things. But how do you feel about the ADOS movement?
Okay, you have to explain to me exactly what that is, but I'm not knowledgeable about what it is.
It's a hashtag. It was started by a hashtag. That's where they say the, you know, the American Descendants of Slaves movement, where if you can prove your lineage as an American descendant of slaves, that's when you become entitled to reparations, whatever they come up with that is. Brother Kev was reading off their website what they would get in the form of reparation, and it included several things. But nothing about land. It included a lot of other things to me that just gives you the illusion of inclusion with American society, but nothing about land. So that's basically what it is in a nutshell.
Right,
American
yeah.
descendants of slaves.
Sounds like some more white supremacist technology. And, you know,
that's what I was
however
saying.
You
something.
However you
go
about proving this, you know, that could have some holes in it, because if he's controlling all the information that you have access to prove this, then again,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, even with that title American, you know,
yeah.
I'm not even sure how many of us were here prior to the slave trade. I don't really get into that debate because I don't have that information. But even with that, you know, how people identify themselves, you have the same information that you're telling me about, it sounds similar to information that you have white people using to say that they're quote-unquote Native American and they're benefiting off that.
Mm. Mm.
I think that
Elizabeth Warren.
I think that was discussed on this show in the past about, you know, how white people are using this whole Native American marker to say that they, you know, have Native American blood in them. And they're getting,
right.
you know, land and other benefits. So I'm sure that if there's any benefit to these claims that they're saying, there's probably so many loopholes and boundaries. And even if you do prove, you know, what's the waiting time and what's the assurance? I don't know. But
right.
anyway, guys, I really appreciate the time, the call, and the topic. Keep it going, and I'll be looking forward to listening to the next debate.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We appreciate you calling. Peace. All right, y'all, if you just joined us, we're winding down to the last about 17 minutes of Collective Minds Radio. I'm Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev, with Rigel Starr and Mufasa Ra. And we just chopping up. This is part two of our reparations conversation. So I just want to say real quick, like, as far as this whole conversation, like I say, I'm not really holding my breath on this type of thing, because I feel like at some point, I feel like this is going to start and put this conversation on the table, and it really should be an eye-opener for black Americans, meaning that if they don't you know, come with some type of reparations. That just means what? We got to do for self and go harder in doing our thing and not depend on federal government or any type of government reparations. We just have to do our own thing. You know, so that's number one for me. So as long as it's on the table, I'm cool with that. I really don't expect much because they've shown us throughout history. Like, you don't, you know, you could tell me, you know, one or two times before I actually get it. You know what I'm saying? It may, the first time I might not get it. The second time, okay, I'm starting to get it. By the third time, I really understand your position. So that's how I feel when it comes to the American government. They've shown me over and over through my lifetime how they value my life or melanated people's life or black people's life, however you want to call it. They've shown me time and time again how they feel, you know, as far as our lives are concerned. So you don't have to tell me, you know, too many times other than that. So I get it. Like, I'm cool with that. I just have to find out a way to navigate and do the best
it
for
is
me and my
what
family
it is
within that particular context. You know what I'm saying? So with this reparations conversation, I'm not really looking for nothing, not really holding my breath, but I'm glad that as a collective, we're pushing the political envelope as far as putting this on the table and laying it out blatantly. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the Pan-Africanism and all that stuff, I think that's cool. I think that I still believe in the ideal of Pan-Africanism, but in this particular time, 2019, that we sit, I'm not sure that that's a lie because we have particular divisions between, you know, some of the Africans that come over here. Because, like I said, a lot of the Africans that they let come over here are vetted, meaning I don't want to call them coons, but some of them acquiesce to white supremacy. You know, a lot of them that they let over here acquiesce or fall in line with white supremacy to undermine foundational black Americans. That's just my experience. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know that we have some riders on the continent. We have some riders on the islands and in these other countries. But a lot of times before they can even get that citizenship or that green card or what have you, they have to be a particular type, and they're vetted making sure that they're safe Negroes. You dig what I'm saying? And they tell them a lot of times to stay away from black Americans, and, you know, you don't want to get with them and help the, you know, associate with those type of people, meaning us. So, you know, that's part of the issue that I have with as far as the Pan-African thing. Like, the ideal is great, but I don't know how realistic it is in this time. You know, for me.
Yeah. And
but
I
still fly my
something.
Flag. Don't get it twisted. I still fly my flag. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I'll touch into something that we said on the last show real quick, too. That's when I had brought up the comment about it being divisive. And that's one of the reasons why I said that it was divisive, because with this ADOS movement, you know, I mean, they said it themselves. Like I said, they attacked. They went on the attack of the Garvey. Garvey movement and Pan-African movement. And so now we got that discussion of, you know, proving your lineage and, you know, it's inclusive for black people on the diaspora. Everything that you said in your comments there. So that just tied into me to making that comment before about it being divisive. But I do agree with you that it's good for us to have this discussion, and it's good for it to be brought to the forefront. I just hope that, you know, because ADOS, the way they're using social media and the hashtag and all that, yeah, that is what we do now in modern times. I just hope that they, you know, encompass some of the stuff that these movements did in the past and put land in with what they're asking for. Because, like I say, without the land, everything else is just illusion of inclusion. So, you know, I would love to see them embrace what people in the past have asked for and go for land as well. All that other stuff they talking about, that's cool, but you still need to be trying to get some land as well. And without that, you're a little concerned.
Indeed, I would agree. But I want to put this out there too, family. I don't know if Roger had to say something, but real quick, just that you know, we actually in a great time right now, y'all. Like, it's a lot of things going on in the world, and especially in this particular country, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of scrambling for power. You see what I'm saying? And those of us that can recognize what we're seeing know that we're actually in a great pivotal moment in, you know, currently living it, but it's going to be looked back at history as a pivotal moment because, again, we're on the eve of 2020. Right, we got a presidential election coming up, and a lot of things are going to be up for grabs as far as quote-unquote power goes, you know, within this political structure. So, you know, I just want to tell the family, you know, if you like me, grab your popcorn, sit back, observe, watch what's going on, you know, be smart about things, be analytical, watch what's going on. That way, you know, you can make the best decisions for you and your family at this point in time. But it's a great time, like I say, because things are really up for grabs. And if you're able to see, there is a quote-unquote change of guards that's happening right in front of our face. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that are happening and going on. So just be aware and be cognizant of what you're seeing as things unfold. Because we are in the sixth month of the year. We're halfway through the year. You see what I'm saying? This year that flew by.
Are you saying it's a great time to be an American?
I'm saying it's a great time to be alive. I would say American too. Because No. I would say that because we are in the country. We are leading, you know, the quote-unquote free world. And we have a lot of – we do have a lot of opportunities. Despite how I go in on white supremacy, I do understand that compared to the rest of the world, America does afford you a lot of opportunities to do things. That doesn't mean that it's perfect. Of course, y'all know that I think that we got a hell of a lot of work to do. But compared to the rest of the world, we do have a lot of opportunities to do a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? So I do want to put that out there as well.
We got time to get one last call, or we at the end?
We'll let Roger decide. I don't know. We got about 8 minutes left.
Okay, we can get to one call. We'll take one more call. Area code.
Take one more call.
319-572. Calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I just got a comment and a question. So you saying that they still owe us for what our great what our ancestors had already been offered. So now what you guys are saying that they got offered to every generation, which means my son, his son, and so forth. And the first reparation they offered was to ship you back to Africa. Those who chose to stay, you became Americans.
Right, but that particular, that particular part, I don't know if that went into, you know, full fruition as far as it was actually realized. I do know that at one point that was a talk, even, you know, during Abraham Lincoln's time and Frederick Douglass, they were talking about sending certain people back to Africa. So that was a part of the conversation, but I don't know how.
But how many generations do they have to pay reparations to?
Well, what they would have to do, here's the thing, because reparations or compensation actually should be generational, because what you're trying to do
I wasn't born a slave. I didn't. So why should I get reparations for something that was already offered to my great grandparents, and they chose what they wanted, and they got what they want.
Right. No. Because
so why should I get paid off of their suffrage? That I didn't
because if you're a descendant of slaves, certain things happen to you up until this point that you need to be compensated for, meaning things that were taken away from you. It's like a repair thing, right? If you damage something, there should be a process as to how you're going to repair it. So when you talk about descendants of slaves, if you are a descendant of slaves, there are things that happen to you damage wise that needs to be repaired. And reparations is simply a means to repair those wrongs, to get it back as right as possible. Meaning you're not going to take care of everything, but you want to make some type of concessions to get people back in their right state as much as possible.
Okay.
Financially.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean?
So I can just say they just owe me double, because I come from ancestry of Native Americans and black slaves. So what you saying? I should get a double up because of that too?
Well, Native Americans have already been compensated.
I haven't been.
Then you should prove that you, right. So you should prove that you're Native American and see if you can get on a reservation or part of this casino, part of the casino money. But they've already been compensated for the land and stuff that's been taken from them. That was part of the
agreement.
Yeah, I would
have to up and move for
that. Then that's what you got to do. You know,
but
that's just what will be what you have to do.
Yeah, we missed the boat.
But my thing is just think about it. Why do they have to pay every generation for something that they've already been offered?
Right.
Okay.
I got you. I mean, I leave
with you, question.
Man.
Right on, Carl.
Yeah.
Appreciate
I,
that.
I did what you're asking. Appreciate it. All right, y'all. We are down to the last 4 minutes. Thank you to all the supporters and callers. And I'm going to let Rigel wrap us up. Rigel and Mufasa, if you got some last words, y'all can wrap us up.
Yeah, I'll add to, you know, and again, I'm going to read this out of the June 4th edition of The Final Call. While it doesn't appear the reparations conversation and push is coming to an end anytime soon, one byproduct of the creation of ADOS, even if it was unintentional, is more blacks are becoming aware of the reparations movement, struggle, and fight, and are energized in becoming advocates for it in a positive manner, not a negative one. And
right,
that ties into what Brother Kev said as well. So if anything good come out of this, we talking. And we're trying to, you know, come to some sort of agreement on what reparations look like and what's owed to us as black people here in this, in America. But it's a lot more discussions we're going to have to do. We got a long way to go with our talks on this.
Yes, indeed. And like I said, we probably will get another discussion in as far, you know, as we get closer to the election, you know, maybe end of this year in 2020. But this conversation will come back up. So stay tuned, family.
Okay. Thank
you,
everybody.
You want to wrap us up?
Tuning in with us. Looking forward to next week. And the week after, we have a lot of good guests coming up. So be on the lookout for that. And if you have any questions, comments, or any show topic ideas, you can always feel free to email us at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. And look forward to speaking with everybody again next week. Again, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all our supporters. Good night.
Peace, family.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Okay.